Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text for today comes from Jonah chapter 3, verse 10 through 4, verse 11. When God saw their actions, that they had turned from their evil way, God relented from the disaster which he said he would bring on them, and he did not carry it out. But to Jonah this all seemed very bad, and he became very angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Lord, wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? This is why I previously fled to Tarshish, because I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and you relent from sending disaster. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than live." But the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He made a shelter for himself there and sat in the shade under it, waiting to see what would happen in the city. Then the Lord God provided a plant and made it grow up over Jonah to provide shade over his head, to relieve him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, and it attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind. The sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die, so he said, "It is better for me to die than to live." But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about this plant?" Jonah said, "I do have a right to be angry. Angry enough to die." So the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. You did not work for it or make it grow. It grew up in one night and perished after one night. So should I not be concerned for Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right and their left, and also many animals?" The word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, is it right for you to be angry? These are the words that God speaks to Jonah in our text for today. We can also imagine these words being spoken to a pouting child. I have a brother that's 2 years younger than me, and as you can imagine, brothers fight every now and then. It didn't matter who started the fight, but inevitably, one of us would end up turning the finger on each other and saying, "He did it." When the fight was my fault and my parents punished me accordingly, sometimes I'd sit there and pout, knowing that things didn't go in my way. Then my parents would ask me those same words that God asked Jonah. "Is it right for you to be angry?" I think we all know the answer to that. No, it wasn't right for me to be angry. I had started the fight, and I was disciplined for my actions. In our text for today, God asked this question to Jonah, not just once, but on two separate occasions. Is it right for you to be angry? Jonah got upset at God's unimaginable compassion for the city of Nineveh. It was baffling to Jonah that God could just forgive an entire city. But God didn't just have compassion on Nineveh. God also had great compassion on Jonah. And God still shows this unimaginable compassion to us today. In order to understand our text for today, we need to recall the whole story of Jonah. Starting at verses 1 and 2 of the first chapter of Jonah, we read, "So the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach against it, for its people's evil way has come up before me.' Now in these days, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, one of Israel's great enemies. These people were just brutal and bloodthirsty and really posed a threat to all the surrounding cities. What the people of Nineveh were doing was a great offense against God. This wasn't just a few people here and there doing some things wrong now and then. This was an entire city of over 120,000 people deliberately disobeying the Lord. Their evil was against God, And God was going to treat them accordingly, with destruction. But when Jonah went to these people and called them to repent, an amazing thing happened. Chapter 3, verse 5 says, "The men of Nineveh believed God. God's word had got through to them." The king then heard these words of the Lord, and then the next verse says, "He got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes." The king would then go on to make an official proclamation that everybody in the whole city of Nineveh and all the animals that they had were to be covered with sackcloth as a recognition of the repentance they were making against God. Verse 9 has the king saying, "Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish." The people of Nineveh recognized their wicked ways. They did not know for certain that the Lord was going to forgive them, but that did not stop them from repenting. They knew God was just, and he very well may repay them for their actions, but they still repented. God shows his unimaginable love to the people of Nineveh when they repented. He did not carry out destruction on the city. The last verse of our text says that these people did not know the difference between their right and left hand, but God loved these people so much. These people did not have anything worthy within themselves to make God love them, but God created them, and as his creation, God loved them so deeply. God loved this entire city full of sinners, but there's one person in this story that you can tell does not care much for these people. Jonah, the title character of this book of the Bible, hates these people of Nineveh. So much so that he tried to run away from an all-knowing God and run away from Nineveh itself, just so that he would not have to tell these people the words of the Lord. Then that leads to the account of Jonah being swallowed by the big fish and running from God and running away from Nineveh, the people that he was supposed to speak repentance to. Many people think that Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh because he was scared of this large, bloodthirsty city. But that's not the case. Jonah wasn't afraid of Nineveh. Jonah hated Nineveh with a passion. It's clear to see with Jonah's words when God confronts him about it. When Jonah saw that God forgave these people of Nineveh, he prays to God, saying, "Lord, wasn't this exactly what I said when I was still in my own country? That is why I previously fled to Tarshish, because I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in mercy, and you relent from sending disaster. So now, Lord, please take my life away from me, for it is better for me to die than live." Jonah acknowledges God's love and mercy for these people, but then he gets mad when God actually carries it out. He ran away from God. He admits that he ran away from God in Nineveh because of the small chance that God might forgive these people. And when he sees that God did exactly what he said he would, Jonah says that he would rather die than live. He would rather die than live in a world with forgiven Ninevites. The next verse then says, "Jonah went out of the city and sat down east of the city. He made a shelter for himself there and sat in the shade under it, waiting to see what would happen for the city." Jonah is anxiously awaiting to see what would happen to the city after God said that he forgave them. Jonah thinks there's this little tiny chance that God might still rain down fire and brimstone to destroy this city. And whenever God causes this plant to grow over Jonah's head, Jonah thinks he's got it made. He thinks he's just going to sit there and relax and watch Nineveh's world burn. However, this plant which God sent was not just shade to give Jonah peaceful scenery as he awaited carnage to ensue. No, this plant was sent to teach Jonah a lesson about God's uncomprehendable compassion. When God sent a worm to destroy the plant, Jonah becomes furious about the plant dying. God then asks Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Jonah replies, I do have a right to be angry. Angry enough to die. There you have it. Jonah again is legitimately asking God for himself to die. All because of a plant. Jonah sits and pouts just like a little kid. If Jonah is so angry about a plant that he did not cause to grow, a plant that was only alive for a single day, how much more is God concerned with the people of Nineveh that repented? God could have destroyed Nineveh. God could have destroyed Jonah. But our loving God has compassion on both of them. What about us? Are we Nineveh? The world that we live in is wicked and bloodthirsty as well. It seems like the longer that we live in this world, the more we see God's word strain from this world. We see this world strain from God's word. The longer we live in this world, the more we want to be like this world, and the more we want to run from God's word as well. We want to do what we want to do and not listen to God's commands. But what does God do? God has created faith in our hearts. He could have destroyed us. He enables us to forgive each other for our sins, and he enables forgiveness to go to everyone that we love. He enables us to ask for forgiveness when we do stray from his ways. Like Nineveh, we repent to the Lord for our actions, and he forgives his children who he loves. What about us? Are we Jonah? When I got in fights with my brother, admittedly, I would have rather seen him get punishment than me. When you see that person you don't particularly care for, what goes through your mind? When you see this person you don't care for succeed in life, do you get angry? Why can't that person just fail? Why can't that person just have the worst day of their life? Why can't that person just die? We want to see our enemies fail. We want to see our enemies burn. We think our plans are better than God's plans, and we compare ourselves to each other without recognizing the sin that is in our own hearts. But what does God do? Does he destroy us right there on the spot? No. He reminds us that the person that you don't really care for is someone that he immensely cares for. He is someone he created out of his love. He also reminds you that you are his own dear child who he loves greatly. What about us? What are we to do when we realize that there's nothing within ourselves that can make God love us? We marvel that God does not treat us the way that we deserve. As our second lesson from Romans says, I will show mercy to whom I show mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it does not depend on human effort or desire, but on God's mercy. As we read in the parable from our gospel lesson, we marvel that God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not treat us fairly. He gives us exceedingly more than what we deserve. The beauty of God's compassion is that it makes our lives unfair. Because of God's plan of salvation, we do not get the wages we deserve, for the wages of sin is death. The sacrifice of God's Son, Jesus Christ, was a gift that God gave us out of his unimaginable compassion. Our Lord came down and lived a perfect life here on earth so that our sins would be forgiven, and purely out of his love for us. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, he paid the eternal price for our sin, making us God's own dear children. God did not treat Nineveh as their sins deserved. God did not treat Jonah as his sins deserved. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. And that is an amazing fact. that he did that all out of his love for us. Praise and thank God for his unimaginable compassion. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.